This morning we're going to be in the book of the 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. If you don't have your Bible with you, there's one under one of the chairs. And if not, I might be able to get them on the screen. I didn't prepare the techies, so I don't know that they're going to be on the screen. but it's possible. So while you're looking for 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just let me ask you, how do you feel about your body? You ever stand in front of a mirror and be like, I could do that. I need to change that right there. You know, or there's just this one thing, maybe you're too tall, or you're too short, or you're too fat, or you're too skinny, or you're too something else. It's like the kids that his parents took him everywhere because they didn't want to kiss him goodbye. You ever just feel like that? You get it? It's a joke. You can laugh. But I'm serious. How do you feel about your body? And the scripture we're going to look at today, and the analogy is a body. And we're compared to a body. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 27. I'm going to start off. We're just going to read through them together, and then I'll do what I always do and just kind of pick little pieces and give you a nugget to see what you can take home from this. So we'll just start at verse 12. It says, "The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many parts. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would for that reason not cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Verse 27, it's pretty awesome. It says, you are part of the body. You specifically. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So just as you look around the church and you see so many different individuals, but understand that you yourself are part of the body. In Romans and 1 Corinthians and Ephesians and Colossians, Paul makes 30 different references to the body of Christ. And now, this analogy, it refers to two definitions kind of the church, okay? Because he'll say the church body, we're a body of Christ, all right? And so you've heard me preach a whole lot, and I won't spend too much time on it, the big C and the little C church. The big C is global church, you know, everybody that calls themselves Christian. Little C for us would be Open Arms, okay? And then any other church that's in the area. But I want you to see is that you are a part of something. And being a part of that, being connected to that is important. It is special, and it should be treated as such. All right? There's a whole lot of individuals that make up a body. I have a hand and another hand, but there's this unifying aspect of the body. There's this eye, right? There's this eye, this personality that brings unity to the varying parts. I, Nathan, unify this body that I encompass, right? So you, insert your name, unify your body. And then, if you are so bold, you, insert your name, unifies the body. You unify the body. Christ gives unity to the differing differing churches. So we are his body. Let's look at verse 12 again. The body is a unit. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So we have something in common. We have a few things in common, actually. Go on down to 13. I'll finish up with 12. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. Now, I know a lot of people have been looking up at my stage and they see my Skittles and they're jealous. I would be too because I'm hungry, but I won't eat any right now. What I want you to see, this represents the body of Christ, as it is written here. So it is with Christ, for we're all baptized with one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. Now notice, inside this cup of Skittles, there are many differing colors. Okay? Many different colors, but they're united by the body that is containing them. Correct? Now, at some point, someone lied to you. And someone said, you know what? The green ones go over here. So they started taking out of the body. They said, the orange ones, those go over there. All the way down until the body of Christ barely has diversity anymore. Because we have taken this cup, this body, and we have hidden it. And we have said, this is my body. Look the same, taste the same, feel the same. Looks the same, tastes the same, feels the same. It's uniformed, not unified. Orange, yellow. So, Jew, Gentile. Gentile said, you know what? I don't want to be by you. I want to be Baptist. I want to be Wesleyan. I want to be Nazarene. I just want to be non-denominational. They said, we're not going to be a part of this cup anymore because I don't agree with the way you insert the blank. All right. And I told you before that most people will argue over baptism. They will argue over communion. They will argue over everything you see behind me. Should there be a microphone? Should there be drums? Should there just be a keyboard? Should you have an old traditional organ? Should you have singers? Should you not? Does it really matter? Because what I just read, we were all baptized into this body. Do you all know how different Jews are from Gentiles? It is literally, and I said this yesterday, it is literally as far as the East is from the West. They, at this point that we're reading, were complete opposites. But Paul says, you know what? Christ unified us. And I spent an inordinate amount of time yesterday trying to preach on this. And if you don't know, we keep referencing yesterday, so let me just tell you. If you weren't here, and if you've been here more than 1 week, I don't know how you didn't know, but we had this festival. It was called One Fest. And what we wanted to do, and it was the vision of Brad, our worship minister, he said, God's given me a vision. I want all of the local churches to just unite and just spend an entire day praising and worshiping our Lord. And then I want different speakers to come. And the idea was, we wanted two things to happen. We wanted unity inside of our church, Big C. And then the next thing is, we wanted outsiders to see us playing nice. And then to connect with something, you know, we wanted them to find their orange Skittles. We want them to say, hey, I like the way that guy speaks, and I like the way they play music. I wonder if that's how they worship. And they get connected to a church body. Because when they do, as we continue to do things together, we keep pouring back into the cup. We're trying to unify because Christ said, or Paul says of Christ, For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free. That means no matter what. And everybody's familiar with this the John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. It wasn't for God so loved the Jews, for God so loved the Greeks, for God so loved the slave. For God so loved the world, the entire world, He gave His life. And then we are to take that and unify underneath it. The Jews and the Gentiles, the free and the slave. He, Christ, represents us all. We are found in His body. That's where we can find our unity. Your leg doesn't belong to another person, right? Wouldn't it be funny if I had Brad's leg? Wouldn't I stand on a hill? No. You get what you get, right? It doesn't. We're unified, and at least we're supposed to be. But again, Satan has lied to us. Throughout history, Satan has lied to us. And he's told us a good one, because obviously we've believed it. Have you driven around Morrow County? I'm pretty sure, and the only reason I know this is because we were doing One Fest. I think there's 86 churches in Morrow County. Morrow County's not that big. 86 churches. I didn't have that many Skittles. But we're all kind of doing our own thing. And I don't want to ruin my next illustration, so I won't. But we're all just kind of doing our own thing at this point. And it's not this thing. We're not filling in back into the body. So we're all very different people as well. No two parts of the body are identical, right? My right hand is completely different than my left hand. It faces the other way, right? And it's got different fingerprints, and it's got some calluses, and just there's differences. My right foot is not the same as my left foot. Just our entire body, we are made up of different parts. We all have different giftings. Can you imagine if we were a church full of preachers? Every one of you was a preacher. Can you imagine? I wouldn't have a job, because any of you could do what I'm doing. Or what if we had a church full of seat fillers? So everybody just comes in and sits down and nothing happens. You'd be surprised, there's more churches like that than not. What if we were a church full of teachers? So we went around and tried to teach each other the same things that we already knew. Or what if we were a church full of prayer? So we all just kind of went individually and prayed, but we didn't get together and pray. You know, God gifts each and every one of us differently, and that gift points back to Him. That gift is to be used for Him, for His glory, for His unification. And it is amazing to me, you know, we just dismissed the children, and I don't know if you saw how many people went back. I think there was 3. All right, there was a lot of kids. 3 people went back there because they are gifted in that way. God has gifted them with, I would say, patience, kindness, love. Yes. And if you were to just look over there, that's what it takes. But not everyone is called or gifted to teach children. Please know that about yourself. If you sign up to teach our children, please know your limitations. Don't let us have to tell you, like, oh, you probably shouldn't be with kids. You know that thing, you called them and hung them up by their feet? That wasn't cool. You can't do that. No. I'm teasing if you're visiting and your kids are back there. We don't let people do that. We might feed them, but that's about it. But in seriousness, guys, we're all gifted differently. And some giftings scare other people. Just going to be honest with you, some giftings will just scare other people. Not everybody can stand up in front of someone and convey a message. It might just literally scare them. Where other people couldn't go up into the children's area to serve. Couldn't come up and play an instrument. We are gifted differently, and it all points back to Him. That's what was so awesome about spending time at One Fest yesterday, was seeing all the people all the diversity that came. I mean, we had from bluegrass to just regular praise and worship to, I mean, we had the gamut, all right? And the speakers were all very diverse as well. And we all had our own unique style, but we all had our own message. And our message wasn't ours. It was His. Because none of us communicated, right? None of us talked behind the scenes and said, hey, what are you preaching on? This is where I'm going with the scripture. What are you going to do with it? Right? We didn't do that. But I opened, the sheriff came, and he added on to what I had to say. And then we had a Brandon from
Fresh Faith.
Brandon from Fresh Faith came, and he added on to what Sheriff said. And then we had Les speak, and he added on to what... And Les didn't even get to hear what the sheriff said, but he still added upon. And it was just like a building block, almost like Legos. It built upon one another. Until by the end of the day, if you didn't know Christ wanted us unified, you wasn't listening. And I felt so passionate about it that I brought it into our Sunday morning. Because I was like, there's more people that need to hear this. More people need to understand that even though we are different, we were baptized into one body. We were all grafted into this one body. We were adopted into this family. So yes, we are all different parts and we have different giftings. Three times Paul points out that the body is made of many parts. Now, there was one time in my previous career where I was laying in a field with another guy, and we were trying to see if people were manufacturing methamphetamines, okay? So that is tedious and boring. But so we're laying there, and we got our little night vision on, and we're looking. And so I just nudge him, right? I'm like, hey, if you were to get shot, where would you want to get shot? Right? And he goes, what about the webbing between your thumb and your first finger, right? So basically where I'm going with this is we were sitting there saying, what is the least valuable to us at this point? What could we lose? You know, and then it went all the way to, well, what if you got shot in the femur? Would you want your left leg or your right leg? You know, and we were just trying to... It's boring, y'all. Don't do it. But, what I want you to see, though, is we were trying to prioritize our body. Well, Paul says we're all important. Every part of the body is important. Now, if I had to choose, I would just say, no, I don't want nothing cut off. I don't want to get shot. I don't want to lose anything. But some people think that through our body being made up of many parts that we should all be like these Skittles. That we should all look the same, should all act the same, sound the same, be the same. And I'll tell you what you mean or what I mean. Go visit another church. Come back, but go visit another church and just observe. There is a culture inside that church. You will catch on to it. Ours, I would say, is very casual. We have a very casual family style of culture. You know, everybody's friends, everybody's family. I'm wearing blue jeans and boots and a polo. And this is probably the most dressed up you'll see me. You come in here during the week, I got shorts, running shoes, and a t-shirt on. Just kind of my culture. I like to be comfortable and functional, right? Other churches... I hope they don't listen to it. I'll pick on my family. My in-laws, if you are not in your like suit and tie, and I mean, it looked like Easter every week going to their church. And that's just the culture, you know. If you don't look and act a certain way, you're one of two things, ostracized or a guest, and you better conform. Right? That's just I'm just being completely honest and transparent with you of how the body of Christ deals with each other. And then we wonder, why doesn't anyone want to talk to us about Jesus? Why don't they want to know about our Lord and Savior? We have this passion about us, right? We do have this Savior that we love and we've accepted. But our conveyance is, because we've done that, we're better than you. I don't know if you knew that, but I'm better than you because I accepted Christ and you haven't. No. But unfortunately today, that is how the Big C Church, the body of Christ, is represented. And that's what we're trying to stop. We are trying to stop this view of Christians, this view of our God. We represent our Lord when we deal with each other, and when we deal with the public, and when we deal with our family, and we deal with our kids. Anything that we do, we are literally representing our Lord, because we have told everyone through our actions, this is what we look like. This is what Christ looks like. And because of that, that's what people think. That's what Christ looks like. Good, bad, or indifferent. It's our diversity, though, that unifies us. Paul goes on to talk about, he says, you know, if the entire body was a hand, okay, now just picture this for me. I'm a floating hand. I don't have any eyes, not have any feet, just a hand, no mouth. I'm just here. Wouldn't that be foolish? Wouldn't that be silly? That's what he's saying. I mean, literally, the body is not made up of one part. And let's look at how essential our diversity is. We're going to look at 15 through 17. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Can I just tell you that comparison is a killer? Right here, you see the foot saying, well, not a hand, so I don't really belong to the body, right? So just go ahead and lop me off, I'm good to go. Comparison will kill us. We will take our lives, we will take our failures, we will take our blooper reel and compare it to someone else's highlight reel. And we will expect to hold ourselves up to that. And then when we can't and when we fall, we say, oh, you know what? I've failed the church. I've failed God. Cut me off. I need to go. Because I'm not near as good as that foot. Or I'm not near as good as that hand. I was asked the dreaded question yesterday. And it didn't sound like this, but this is what he asked me. How many are you running? I just rolled my eyes. Why? What's the nature behind the question? Why do you want to know how many people attend here every Sunday morning? Is it so you can compare your congregation to ours? Or is it to see how much fruit the Lord is bearing? And 99% of the time, they're asking me, so you all got about 100? That's not bad. We got about 3, 4. Okay, good. Be faithful with them. You know, I hate that. And some people will say, well, I can't preach, I can't sing, I can't play. There is absolutely something for you to do for Jesus inside this church, and then also inside the global church. Because he has gifted you on purpose with that. Now, of course, it is a choice. Am I going to do it? Let's look at verse 20 real quick. He says again, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. Have any of you guys played tug of war as a child? Any of y'all still play tug of war? I'm game. You sign me up, I'll play. All right, so picture with me. I couldn't do this illustration, so I'm coming down. Here we are. We have our rope, okay? And on this side of the rope, so you're all right. The right side of the rope is all of Christ. It's Christians united the giant sea. Somehow we all got together. We didn't argue over any of the carpet colors or anything else. We just said, you know what, we're going to hold on this rope because on the other end is Satan. Right? Down here is Satan, and he's tugging. So whoever's first, I'm going to say, Jesus, grab it. Right? He's like, no, you're not going to pull it. So then we all grab it, and we start pulling, right? So now imagine, like, one of us pulls. pulls this way, to the right. Still pulling back, but to the right. Now, four people down, they pull over to the left. And then, six people down from that, they're tired, so they just sit down. They're done. They don't feel like pulling anymore. They're just going to sit down. Do you think we would effectively pull Satan across? Not rhetorically. Yes or no? Would we pull him across? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, can I tell you that when I got here to open our Christian church, we were pulling 15 different directions. Everybody wanted to go their way. Nobody was going one way. But that has changed. I don't know what changed. God changed. God changed us. Whatever had happened, we are now on the rope and we are pulling for Him. We are pulling together for Him. And as we unify our small church, we will add to the unification of the big church. Because if we are in this line and we're pulling and we see someone go on the right, we can say, no, no, no. Remember, look, we're going this way. This is where Jesus is. We're going to go that way. No, don't worry about that. We got it. And if someone sits down, we can help pick them up. We can encourage them. We can lift them up. But if we are going the same direction as one body, we're not going to win. There it is. You're not going to win. It's a failure. May as well just chalk it up and leave. But I don't think that's what's happening. I think what's happening is now I see, as I look out, a group of believers that says, I love Jesus, and I want us to grow towards Him, and I want to produce fruit for Him. So that's what's happening. How funny would it be if my right hand would only go backwards, and my left hand would only go forwards, and my left leg stayed still? I'd be stuck. I would not be able to move. I would be ineffective in life. I could not make a change or make a difference. I could not go towards Christ because I would be paralyzed by my extremities. We all have to go the same direction. And that direction, if you go all the way back to 13, is we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body in Christ. That direction is Christ. We don't go towards people. We go towards Him. The church has to discern the direction God wants them to go. Let's look at 25 through 26. We're almost done. He starts with, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This makes for harmony. I've been talking to Spanky about it, about his back surgery. And it's something that is just a byproduct. He has pain in his back. But then, you know, I was visiting with him at his house, and he's like, you know how much you use your abs? Your abs have nothing to do really with your back, right? But he's like, you know how much you use your abs, like standing, sitting, trying to lay down in bed? So his back had pain, and it caused his entire body to pick up the slack, and eventually it was starting to hurt and get sore. So is with the body of Christ. If one of us is hurting, we're all hurting. If one of us is rejoicing, we're all rejoicing. I love our prayer chain because we get to pray through situations with people, and I love getting the praise at the end. You know, we're celebrating with one another. Hey, here was the problem. We prayed through it, and then now here's the celebration. As a body, we're doing that together. It's just so awesome to be a part of. So I'll leave you with this question, and I want you to think about it. And I've asked you this before. What part of the body are you? What part of the body are you? What function will you perform? How will you help make the body what it ought to be? Don't let us be this church. I don't have a specific one in mind, so I'm not trying to pick on anybody. Don't let us be the church where 5 people serve and 95 sit in a chair on Sunday morning. Don't let us be a church where 5 people spread the gospel and 95% or 95 people don't. Don't let us be that church where complacency and being lukewarm is accepted. Let's stay together and go our common direction. Now, remember, each one of us is gifted differently, so our service and our fruit is going to be very, very different, but it will all be for the one cause, which is Christ. It keeps coming back to Christ. He is what unified us. Before Him, they had many divisions. And even in Corinthians, as if you guys know anything about Corinthians, they were divided. If you could argue about it, they did. But they didn't get anywhere until they were finally told, look, let that go to the side. Focus on what's important. Love God. Love each other. Love your neighbor. Follow Jesus and go to the world and tell them, share His message. You're going to hear those 3 words a lot. Love, follow, go. You're going to hear those a lot coming up. They're basically our core values. Love God. Love one another. Love your neighbor. Follow Jesus' example and go spread His gospel. If you do that, all of these will be back together. Even if they can't all fit in one cup, they will be unified next to one another for the greater purpose of Christ. There is no secret that it's been put on the heart on a lot of people in this community, a lot of different people in this community, that there needs to be a stirring, a movement inside our community. There's an event coming up in September called The Awakening. Those people that are leading that prayed on that for like 2 or 3 years and then was given a date, which is odd, is that Brad was given the same exact vision 3 months earlier. And it was executed. I'm in a prayer group with some pastors. We meet once a week and we pray. And then, you know, we kind of come together and say, what is God telling you? What's God saying to you? And there was one time, there's 4 of us sitting there. We all put our heads up and said, God says we need hope. So that's what we need to do. And we can't share hope with other people if we don't feel like we have it ourselves. And you won't have hope if we're not connected together. If we can't hurt with one another and rejoice with each other, how can we share that hope? We can't. Not effectively. There's no point in doing it if you can't do it well. So there it is. I talked a whole lot, and basically here's what I want you to take home. If you didn't hear anything I said, here's what I said. Jesus unifies us all. Denominations breaks us down. And Satan is happy when we do it. We will fail his mission. And it's an important mission. And I'm pretty passionate about it. There are people that are hurting that don't have hope. And all they need to be told is the truth. You can make it through today. Let me help you. Not, oh, you go to that church, go see that pastor. You know? Oh, don't you got a pastor to come visit you, talk to you about that? What about you? You're standing right there in front of them. Can you share that hope, the hope that's inside of you? Just say, here am I, send me, and watch what happens. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the unification we receive through Christ. God, we pray that you forgive us for where we've fallen short, where we've failed you. Lord, I pray that you do a work in our community. You do a work in our local churches. Lord, I would pray that you would bring us all together under the roof of Christ, and that you would strengthen us and empower us, take away this fear and this complacency, and allow us to be effective for you. Allow us to share your gospel. Let us spread the hope and compassion and grace and love of you. And let us show people that love us as well. Lord, I thank you for your message, and I pray that we can apply it to our lives each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to have some of the elders come down front to pray with you. But I also want to do something new today. If God has put on your heart that you want to pray with other people, if you just feel like you're led to be able to pray with other people, would you go just to the back of the room and just make yourself available to pray with others? So as the elders come down, and I'll be down here, my challenge to you is this. What is keeping us from unifying? What is keeping you specifically from unifying? We'd love to talk to you about it. We'd love to pray through it with you. No judgment here. We're not perfect. But we'd love to talk to you about it. So the band's going to sing another song, and we'll be down front available for you.